Thank you very much for that introduction. I think let's just ask the PLK members here that they give me the introduction.
Good morning, everyone. I'm Shintao Singh, I'm leading the group of First Assin, and I'm from the
Democratic Party.
Good morning, everybody. I'm Aisun Sak, and I'm from the Democratic Party.
Thank you very much, Chair and Honourable Members. So we'll just quickly go through the first two bullet points about purpose and background, and then maybe go immediately into the meat of the presentation. So this is our second quarter performance report for the 16-17 financial year. This the committee has seen many times about who we are as a science sector. A white paper that describes who we are. We continue to try and build a system of innovation that enables science and technology and innovation to deliver on the social economic development. We derive our mandate, of course, from the white paper, but we are guided much more tightly by the National Research and Development Strategy and the 10-year Innovation Plan. And then our vision is to have an increased well-being and prosperity through science, technology and innovation, and do this by providing leadership and enabling environment and resources for science, technology and innovation in support of the development of the country. The work of the department in relation to other government outcomes supports the outcomes that we indicate here, so we think we are aligned. And our outcomes, as the committee would know, is to have a responsive, coordinated, and an efficient national system of innovation, to increase the knowledge production, to have the human capital that the system requires, use knowledge for economic development, and knowledge for inclusive development. So we had a total number of 49 planned outputs, and for the second quarter we only achieved 7% target, and 43% were not achieved, but we will explain this a little bit later. So this is just the graphic representation of the targets that were achieved and those that were not achieved. Just some highlights on each of the strategic goals. In an effort to build a responsive, coordinated and efficient national system of innovation, we are reporting that the science, technology and innovation institutional landscape work that the Minister asked from the review has progressed. We received a draft report from the committee, and the Minister has looked at the report and she has asked further work to be done. And if, just to remind the committee, this science, technology and innovation institutional landscape was to try and provide a sense of whether science and technology landscape institution-wise is able to assist in the achievement of the South Africa's National Development Plan, identify any gaps in the current institutional landscape if we have institutions that perhaps we do not have, or if there is a way in which we could rearrange some of the institutions should the need be. So a model for STI institutions that could enhance the promotion of a coherent, integrated and optimized mandate. So again, once this work is completed, we'll be more than happy to share details with the committee. Under knowledge generation, we continue to work with the National Treasury to look at achieving this target of 1.5% of GDP spent on research and development. We have finalized the cabinet memorandum that proposes how, at least whilst we're looking for increased resources, we can get better coordination of the budgets that is deployed to the science institutions. The asset clusters of DGs have agreed on this, and the cab memo is going to be tabled in cabinet, if I'm not mistaken, in the next 2 weeks. Again, we continue to look for partnership and bringing the industry closer to the work that we do. So the departments, together with the Simodisa hosted an industry thought leadership dinner to discuss the role of industry in enabling technology commercialization. And then also the Czech localization program supported pulp technology and speedcraft manufacturing FISTNA as part of making sure that we have the private sector companies that benefit from our Czech localization program. On the knowledge generation, 2,898 PhD students were awarded bursaries, and just over 8,500 postgraduate students were also supported in this. And then on the interns that are placed in science, engineering, and technology institutions, 894 graduating students were placed in these institutions, and the breakdown in terms of NRF and National Youth Service is given. And then we are happy to say that as part of directing centers of excellence that receive generous funding from the department, we continue to ask if they would think about the future of the centers of excellence on the one hand, but also to begin to request the centers of excellence to use the knowledge that they generate to inform policy. So there was a forum of the centers of excellence directors at the University of KZN this year. As I say, one of the issues was to look at the sustainability of the COEs, and the discussions and the outcome was provided to the minister very, very soon. Again, we are happy with the progress we're making on the National Science Week, which was launched here at the University of the Western Cape. And then, of course, the theme for this year was Science for Sustainable Development and Improved Quality of Life. The Maths and Numeracy Research Chairs Community of Practice met at the Rhodes University. And as I indicated before, the focus of the discussion was how do we use the outcome of the research that they do in order to inform policy. I was reading on the paper this morning about how we have fared in the team study that was, I think, published by. So we want to make sure that the funding that is provided here helps us to understand the challenges there and how we can make sure that we address the challenges. On the infrastructure, we are happy to say that the implementation of this national integrated cyber infrastructure system was approved by the minister, and the regional tier 2 node was launched at the University of Cape Town. And then the development of a national e-science postgraduate teaching and training platform also that is led by this consortium is progressing. Just to give a little bit of a context here, members of the committee will remember that we have identified big data as one of the opportunities for the next frontier, and therefore we need to be training students on how to handle big data. And therefore, these two highlights on the progress that we are making in this work is very, very important in that aim of making sure that we have adequate skills to take advantage of this new area. On the square kilometer array, the 16 antennas were integrated. These are referred to as Array Release 1. This was launched in July, and then the project office was able to project or direct these 16 dishes onto the sky. And to everyone's surprise, we were told that 1,300 radio galaxies in the centimeters were seen on just these 16 dishes. And the previous record was 70 radio galaxies that were discovered by a telescope in Australia. So you can see how good the telescope is in terms of being able to get better resolution and begin to, as promised, to see things that have not been seen with other instruments before. So these results in our view demonstrate that the Array Release 1 NIRCAT is already the best radio telescope in the southern hemisphere, and confirms that when fully completed, the NIRCAT should indeed be the world's best telescope. On the bioeconomy strategy, this is now using knowledge for innovation for economic development. We are happy to say that the National Biocatalysis Initiative that is running out of the CSIR has had two research and development agreements between the CSIR and these two companies, Clyde Tubes Close Corporation and Puris, that have been signed. The implementation strategy of the bioeconomy's objective is to drive bioenterprises and bioproduct development and commercialization. And already progress has been made under the Enzyme Manufacturing Initiative, REACT, ENZ, to develop a marketing strategy for commercialization, and they have received some funding from the CSIR Licensing and Venture Office. We're also happy that approval was obtained and contracting process initiated for support of 9 institutions under the Offices of Technology Transfer Support Fund. On the tech localization, beneficiation and advanced manufacturing, we just want to highlight the work that we're doing on tech localization, where Pulsech Technologies is one of 100% South African local manufacturer of a niche market high-performance butterfly valve range. And during the reporting period, this company was approved by PowerTech Transformer with a problem relating to leaking transformer valve, was approached by PowerTech. And the potential cost savings to PowerTech when the valve needs to be replaced after commissioning is approximately 100K per transformer. So you can see the partnership that is happening where small medium enterprises that are supported by the tech localization unit are improved with the products and the contracts that they want. As we indicate, we hope this will have a huge impact on Pulsech's turnover and elite job creation, and constantly monitor the progress under this tech localization unit and provide a portfolio committee. Under Innovation for Inclusive Development, we hosted the first Innovation in Sanitation Technologies breakfast, and the session was attended by private sector, government and research community, and to discuss tech localization opportunities from the DST Innovation Innovative Sanitation Technology Program. And then we have been involved in the National Innovative Building Technologies Conference, which was held at the Nelson Mandela Metropolitan University, where we led a session focused on research development and innovation, and we also used this conference to profile the innovative building technologies activities that we support, so that we begin to make sure that again we move into innovative building technologies, and most of these will be local technologies, so that we hope they will create jobs. So we are grateful with the partnership that we have with the Department of Human Settlements that wants to partner or deepen the partnership with us across a range of activities, spatial planning, operations management, as well as better delivery of services. Under international cooperation and resources, South Africa has been elected to be the incoming chair of SADC from August 2017. And we are also grateful that the first trilateral research program was launched between South Africa, Kenya and the United Kingdom. And we think this marked the commencement of a new era of innovative modalities of collaboration among international partners, where South Africa with our partner countries in the continent and the international partner come together in order to look at how we can finance research and innovation in South Africa or in Africa. The ministerial visit to New Zealand, we are grateful that it has resulted in a new partnership that is focused on a number of areas with New Zealand. We've never had an agreement with them, so the areas where we'll be learning from how they have done things are agreed. That include FKA, big data, indigenous knowledge systems, agricultural, biotech, and climate change. On technical exchanges, we've had technical exchanges, including a symposium on the establishment of infectious diseases early warning system in partnership with Japan, a workshop on grassroots innovation with India, a workshop to discuss the establishment of a virology center with the United States of America, and then on the BRICS front, South Africa participated with engagement in areas of water use, oceanography and astronomy, during the reporting period. So those are just the highlights, Chair and Honourable Members. So now we're just going to go through each and every program and give members a breakdown on the achievements. Program 1, 83% of its targets were achieved. Program 2, 25%. Program 3, 10%. Program 4, 75%. And program 5, 10%. I would like later on to explain the reasons why in some of the programs the percentages of the targets that have been achieved are low. So this is a graphic illustration of the program that the targets that have achieved the program, again 83 in program 1, 25 in program 2, 10% in program 3, 75% in program 4, and 7% in program 5. So these are the targets that have been achieved on the 42 quarterly performance report approved by EXCO. We had a target of 1 this year that's been achieved. And the vacancy rate, we retained at 6%, we were at 4.8% by September. Paying suppliers within 30 days of the valid receipt, valid invoices that we received, we were able to pay suppliers. We got an unqualified report on financial matters, so that's been achieved. On a public participation program, we had targeted 2, we had 3. Media articles, 4, we had 5, so this again has been achieved. On technology innovation, regulatory recommendations, 8 were supposed to be recommendations for decision support for 21, so that's been achieved. Under program 3, we have a number of targets that have been achieved, and dedicated international exchanges, as I indicated, we have set a target of 3, we achieved 4. On research development support, the numbers are indicated here, Honorable Chair. 2,352 postgraduate PhD students, with 2,875 graduates to be placed in science, engineering, and technology institutions, 894. On research infrastructure, we were hoping to call for proposal on awarding of research grants, and this was done. On the number of sites and upgrades that needed to be finalized as part of the connection to the SunRed, again, the upgrades and sites indicated 7 that's been achieved. On program 5, we were supposed to have the first draft of 4 identified policy briefs on innovation for inclusive development developed by 30 September. These are the ones that I think we have continued to develop. On monitoring the implementation of the work plans for the 7 existing decision support, again, we monitor what is the progress on each of these decision support tools that we have developed, and we are trying to make sure that they are being used by the stakeholders. On the learning initiatives that are generated by 30th of September, we met the target. The number of interns that were monitored to ensure are on target, that 179 out of 200. And on the negotiations, knowledge innovation products, and 19 negotiations with implementing agencies were finalized by the organization. Now, just to highlight the targets that were not achieved, we want to probably say, how do we check the ones that are not achieved? So first of all, the reason is that the target formulation is deficient. So this is refers to targets which were not achieved because of variables which were not foreseen during the target formulation phase. But sometimes we formulate the target on the anticipation of certain things that during the reporting phase change. And then the second reason is process delays. This refers to factors which are outside the control of the department, and therefore achievement of such targets is mainly dependent on outside partners or circumstances. And then administrative delays, this is internal processes of the PST. And then sometimes we are let down by the implementing agencies where we need either them to meet the targets and they don't. So we then try to go through some of these. In terms of the number of days that we have set as a target to fill vacancies, this is going to be, we think, Honorable Chair, Honorable Members, a problem, because at the moment, as you know, there is a ceiling on the budget for human resources as Treasury tries to reduce the size of the budget for government. This matter has not been resolved, so at the moment when somebody resigns and leaves the department, we try and make sure that we don't fill the post unless we know we've got enough budget to carry through the post of that individual. So we suspect this will continue to be a challenge. And then there was an administrative delay about audiovisual upgrades in the department, but I think we have now received, I think, a letter from Treasury on the environment request that we have made, so this should be able to pick up speed. On the instruments funded in support of knowledge utilization, again, the administrative delays in terms of approval processes internally. On the evaluation and assessment report developed and approved by EXCO, this is another administrative delay, so hopefully this by the next quarter should be back on target. On the number of postgraduate students that are supported through some of the programs, the target was say no postgraduate students were supported. We think it would be a mistake to expect that you would not have by this time a sense of how many postgraduate students have to support. So the fact that this thing was included here without any milestone, I think maybe is the main issue. So we are again engaging with colleagues and programs to make sure that the target is properly formulated, especially the quarter target. On the amount money that we receive from external sources, most of them are process delays, and if the Honourable Chair and Honourable Members would remember that the bulk of our non-achievement of targets is in this program, because we rely on international partners to give us evidence on whether we can see outstanding evidence on all of these, because we rely on them to support them. What we've been informed by these colleagues is that in the third quarter, most of this evidence will be made available to the department, because when we come and present this second quarter and third quarter reports now, they must be audited by the internal auditor. So I would rather not say something has been achieved, even though it's been achieved, unless we have evidence. So that's one of the major reasons why we seem to be low on the target rating at this program in particular. Again, on the SADC SCI initiative and formally recorded decisions in this forum, it's a process delay. And then, as we have indicated before, that it is not easy to predict up to the last sort of 10 or hundreds of students that will provide better schools. So the fact that we have 8,000 instead of 8,247 because of this variation or this lack of certainty in being precise on the number of students that we provide support to. On the Meerkat antenna, we would like to report to the portfolio committee that during the rollout of the dishes, the program office discovered that one of the drivers for the dishes was false, didn't meet the design specification. And as a result of that, instead of going ahead with the rest of the dishes, they are holding back, and they have asked the company that is manufacturing this unit to redo it and retrofit on the other dishes that have already been fitted with this unit, because the feeling is that if this fails during the use of the near-cut dishes, we will be in more trouble. So we are then going to have to, I'm afraid, Honorable Chairperson and Members, reformulate this topic, because we would rather make sure that the the dishes are working properly with all of the faults that have been picked up now, rather than to have a target of 64 dishes, but if this unit fails during the process, it has huge reputation for the country. So we apologize about this, but we still think that this is the best approach, and maybe we will have to find this fault now. Here is another process delay in terms of funding that we have to unlock with our EU partners in this project. On the draft report on government funding, this was an agreement delay with EBSCO proposing that further data validation can be done on this report that has to go to Parliament. On the R&D survey, again, administrative and as well as process delay in terms of starting the survey later on. Planning methodology document not produced by SESI, again in the second phase of the review of the innovation measurement that has been delayed. And then on the pre-approval decision, we are almost at the target of, as you can speak about this, of finalizing all the previous R&D applications. I think we are 85%, and by the end of December or January, we will have cleared all the previous backlogs, and next year we will then be processing just the new application. So we think here we turn the corner just to finalize the one that we have. On the financial performance, as the honourable members know, the bulk of the funding goes to the NRF with program 4, I think that's followed by program 5, CFRR, and then program 2, TIA, and the Space Agency. And as the members know, that the bulk of the funding goes to our implementing agency, and this pie chart confirms that 93.1%. In terms of where we are on the expenditure at the end of the second quarter, we were sitting at just under 70%, and we think we will need to target and spend the money by the end of the year. This is just showing the expenditure per each of the programs. So in conclusion, as I've indicated, the majority of targets that were underachieved were in Program 3, and these are due to late reports from international partners, but we hope that in the next quarter, the third and the fourth quarter, we start to receive the support so that we meet what we are expected to do, making sure that by the time we come and report to the portfolio committee, we have audited targets in terms of performance. Again, just to remind the portfolio committee that work on the white paper is progressing very, very well, and reviewed by the National Advisory Council on Innovation. So at an appropriate time, maybe early next year, we'll be happy to come and share with the portfolio committee what you're imagining on this. And then subsequently, immediately thereafter, a new decade of plan 2018-2028. So I think this is where I'd like to end, Honourable Chair, Honourable Member, and thank you very much for your attention.
Thank you very much. And thank you once again for this presentation on the end of the session. Let me give two members to ask questions.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. You know, there's not much that we can ask the youth delegation, unfortunately, because not much has changed. But, you know, let me just give you support on your meerkat decision. I think really should report that, if I can say that. And then just a question, last time we were concerned when we visited Sutherland that they're going to build on the skyline, you know, windmills. And in our VRR report, we have asked the Department of Energy to interact with the Department of Energy and other departments and then to report back to us early next year whether they have resolved that, and if not, you know, how will they minimize the impact? Because if we give that window of darkness away, it's away from it, and we will then lose, you know, unfortunately, our edge in terms of what we're trying to do. So maybe just a reminder that you should interact with the other problems.
The non-achievement and the problem of formulation. Are we likely going to have this for our in the last interaction, I remember something like this being said, that you know, we couldn't achieve a certain target because of the formulation. And we are here today saying the same thing. And I see here they were distributing a program of everything that will help next year, I think, for the world March. We might find ourselves having to have the same problem. I don't know whether we can find a way to remove this from the agenda by attending the measure or expanding from what must be achieved and what part of what must be achieved, so that we don't have, you know, the same thing coming. This is the problem, and it's on the calendar.
Last week there was a visit that we had, I think, two back to Ottawa, where we were very much impressed with what he said. And one of the things that was said there, which I think the department must seriously consider and make sure it happens, was that there is a need for a machine that must come in there in order to enhance the capacity of production of neutrons, so that when you increase that capacity, you also generate spare capacity in the machine. It can be used for research purposes. If we can assist that facility to have that capacity, then why I feel very strongly that we should do that is because of the ability or the potential of that institution to develop a product that can help us deal with the challenges that we have. For instance, they told us about the product that they do there, which assists us to detect if a person has cancer, for instance. Even though those imaginary things that you produce there, the lifespan is very limited. Once you produce it, it starts to die immediately. But those that remain, they are very useful to detect the difficulties that we find. And if you then create that spare capacity to then concentrate on developing the, I don't know whether I should say the twin sister or the twin brother of the detector, that it must detect, and then you must have this one that can cure. Because if it has the capacity to detect, it means if it is developed to a higher level, it will have the capacity to cure. Of course, the composition will not be the same. It's very fascinating, and I just think, you know, if we can just look within the budget, do environment and get that machine to do what it's supposed to do, to do what it has the capacity to do, it will be good for the country. Just imagine if we are able to produce a cure,
you know, you detect and show. Mm-hmm. It would be wonderful. And probably we can have another one up north. The hospital is there in the rural areas, they also have the capacity. You know, I got sad news last week that somebody that I know, a business person from Limpopo, who has really contributed to the democratic South Africa, went to a hospital. He has the means. He went there, they checked the team and said, yeah, you look okay. Of course, he walked in there looking okay, but he was not feeling okay. That's why he went. And he was given some, I don't know whether it's from Panab or whatever. He went home. When he arrived home, he complicated. Then they took him back to hospital. He was hospitalized. Mm-hmm. By midday, by midnight, he was gone. Mm-hmm. You know, because that hospital, I believe, they don't have access to these new problems that we have. By the time they leave in Johannesburg, because I'm told there's another plant in Joburg that supplies other areas there. And by the time it leaves Joburg, it goes to Limpopo. When they arrive there, it's gone. So, yeah, I just thought if I say this, I will be very happy. But yeah, you are doing a good job. We'll keep on praising you, but you must also make sure that you not also talk to us on the you know, target formulation, continuous handling, become very connected.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. First of all, my apologies for being late. I think it was so very nice traffic that we had this morning. It was just atrocious. Also, from my side, DGC, Chairperson, I think I also think it's very wise if when we formulate the FKA target, it just makes sense that you don't carry on with something that you know is wrong. Also, I think the cost at the end will be much greater. But I would like to raise something of a more general nature that really concerns me. And I see also that you refer to the not filling of the vacant positions. I have a great concern that due to the economic constraints that we are losing capacity in terms of human resources. And I also mentioned this in the House that with science and technology, it's slightly different than with maybe other portfolios or departments, but if you fall behind, the cost to catch up is incalculable. So I would just like to hear your comments as to I don't know, Chairperson, I don't know how we can address this, because if we lose out now, we can't catch up. So just maybe in general, with all your ideas on that.
Following the 2016 emergency long-term budget, what is the future budget study allocation output for the department? And what role would it have to make with implementing the recommended action plan to address the shortcomings identified by the AG? And what is the purpose of key control concerning governance and performance? Thank you.
But I also want to know the issues with the treasure. I don't know what it is that we can do, because there are those essential services that are needed. You know? And I think it's not only in DST. Many other departments are facing that. The essential service that is needed, and the posts are frozen. And the AG, when it comes and says the posts, when you audit, it'll give you a negative audit outcome. So I don't know what you need to do. Maybe something that you need to raise as a question to the Ministry of Treasury, to Ministry of Finance, or something like that. I'm suggesting that, but I wanted to find out how it affects the audit outcome. The issue of the RFC, I just want to find out, because I'm sure you know that we also keep on raising the matter of the RFC, and especially in our IRRR, we want to recommend that there should be a separate vote for RFC. So I just want to find out, have you undertook a study that the DST impacts or negatively? So, because you would be asked by other departments to do some research for you, and with no return. So that I think that particular aspect also, if you can get it from yourself, so will help us in strengthening the issue of the separate vote for parents. I think I'll leave it there. The other two.
Thanks very much, Honorable Chair, Honorable Member. Let me try, and then I'll ask the team members to fill in. Let me start with, I think, the comments from the Chair. There was a study that was done as part of this budget coordination process that I think we have started off with. Just make sure that the current resources are being deployed properly. When we started this, I think it was done by Marjorie Pires, on how other countries finance R&D. So we'd be more than happy to dig that work off, if I'm not mistaken, so we can share with the committee. But subsequently to that, we have also done some work where we feel that one of the challenges in South Africa is that the provincial allocations as well as the municipal allocations are in South Africa not having a component that is earmarked as a percentage of the budget, for instance, which would use innovations in order to either enhance service delivery at municipalities or in the provinces, innovations that would support the growth and development of strategies of the provinces. So we think this would be the low-hanging fruit, that if there was a mechanism within Treasury to have a discussion on this, that would almost increase the public side of the budget moving. Just to give an example, we are extremely grateful to the province of Gauteng for the investment that they are making at the Innovation Hub, and how that hub is beginning to assist the province in the growth of the ICT industries because of the support and the incubation that they provide to these ICT industries, and they are now wanting to expand to the biotech industry. We've had, I think, a very useful discussion with the Western Cape provincial government that have an interest in two areas, and we've started to have a discussion with them on the starting off with the health biopark here in Cape Town in Pineland, but also they have therefore an interest in developing media and high-tech industry in the park, as well as also an interest in ICT big data industries because of the investment that we are making in the ICT and big data area. But these things are ad hoc, and these things depend on, sorry, Honorable Matali, on the vision of the premier who at that time is there. And if he or she goes, then we find that these activities aren't sustained, because even with the innovation hub, there was a time after the leadership that started the innovation hub left, where the activities, especially on the science and technology side, went down, and now I think it's been revived. So if there is a mechanism of, I don't know how the parliamentarians can help us to begin to have that conversation, because in the analysis, responding to your earlier question, Honourable Chair, we found that if you go to places like Brazil, the province has got funding for science and technology. In Rio de Janeiro, it's called FAPERJ. In São Paulo, it's called FAPES. So they would identify the province challenges and say, how can science and technology address this? So I think that's the response to that. And then on the audit outcomes, that's to quote the chair and honorable talk. My recollection, CFO, is that our budget has remained almost constant in the next 3 years, maybe with a slight 5% or so increase in the outer years from about 7.5 billion to just over 8 billion. But we can provide the details of if CFO has that, I'll ask him to do that. So we haven't lost a lot of investment, but we've kept the budget, except that some of the money, of course, that is coming is directed to our certain programs. We're not complaining about that. For instance, there's a huge allocation, sort of a reprioritized budget from infrastructure into mining R&D, so we're grateful to that. And then there's a little bit of resources from economic competitiveness support package, which is supporting the sector innovation fund. So that's okay. There were two or three main issues that the Auditor General raised. The first one related to turning around our supply chain in terms of the internal controls that are making sure that the proper processes of following pre-codes for tenders are done. The CFO has, together with the DDG Corporate Services, developed a turnaround plan for supply chain. And this is monitored, I think, by ourselves as the executive, as well as the audit committee. And we think that we're beginning to turn around on the supply chain. The second one related to disclosures in our annual financial statements. And the CFO is working very, very diligently with the team to make sure that these are done. And then we have agreed that the audit committee, together with the internal audit, would do the verification of these disclosures and all that. And then the third one was just the general sense of behavior and if you like, division of responsibilities between the finance section as well as ourselves and the rest of the line. And I think in this turnaround strategy, we have delineated exactly the roles in terms of what is it that we have to do. For instance, after I have received the service from the program, I need to write a report that authorizes the CFO to pay the final payment. You know, these are small sort of hygiene, but important things that need to be done. So we continue to monitor this and hope that the next audit will be much, much better. But if the chair allows, maybe the CFO has a detail on the numbers, and if you want to add anything on the audit general funding, maybe we can do that, and then I'll come back to that.
Thank you, Chair. In terms of the MHF allocation, like the DG has already stipulated, based on the preliminary allocation data that we got, is that our baseline for 2017 has been reduced by 1%. Means there was a 1% cut for compensation of employees, 1% cut under 2% under capital assets. then it's important to note that the compensation of employees don't put more pressure on the budget constraints that we already have, because when you assess the allocation and the existing headcount, and remember we have not been feeling about 34 positions today, which operationally already has, is already starting to have a negative impact. So we were even before this 1% cut anticipating about a shortfall of 11 million in 2017. So that with the 1%, which amounted to 3.5 million, it means the deficit is going to be around 15 million. But we still having engagement with Treasury in that regard, but we haven't made any positive impact as to how we're going to deal with that today. But in terms of the 1817, there was 1%, 1891% cut again under those three major expense categories. But we also got the 169 million for the ETFP as a unit. And then the cut was also affected in 1920. So actually, if you think about it, the cut for 1% is across the board, the MTF, and we also had a cut in the previous year. So it means you're sitting in a situation where you have got your compensation for the in-year being cut more than once, because the 17-18 was cut when the 2016 MTF was reduced the other year, and it's still the case even now. So
thanks, CFO. So this then links maybe us to this discussion that Honorable Lagrette has raised around this challenge. At this point in time, we are doing three things. One is looking at the age profile of our staff and look at whether those of us who are close to 60 and 65 could not be considered for any job. I think the HR and finance are looking at the implications of that, because the implications are that if I have to be released sooner than the retirement age, depending on whether I'm a contract or I'm on the full employment, somebody must pay my pension for the duration that I was going to stay. So it will save us salaries, but it could have a cost in terms of the pension contribution that has got to be. But we are still channeling the numbers. Also recognizing that sometimes those older people are the ones you don't want to release in the organization. So we are doing that at least as an analysis to get a sense of whether that's possible. The second one is whether we could work with our entities to identify people that could be seconded to the Department of Science and Technology. We hope that we'll be allowed to do that under Goods and Services budget, even though I think it's been cut. We'll have to see how in the operations we reduce other line items. It's the second one. And then the third one, I think it's an engagement with Treasury and the Department of Public Services that maybe the way we are approaching this is not correct. And maybe we need to really look at where has the budget of the state ballooned and find a way in which we don't cut across. Maybe the cut could be, you know, on a sliding scale depending on where the bulge has been. So this is an engagement that is happening between National Treasury and Public Service so that we minimize, as you, the Honorable Madrid has indicated, that the skills that you need, what tends to happen in this case is that they are the ones that leave in this case. I remember when teachers were asked to do voluntary package, math and science teachers were the first ones to leave, and we've never been able to go back. So I think it's a point that we'll continue to engage at our level. But again, if the committee members at the platforms where we could help us to have this contribution of a differentiated, nuanced cutting of the budget, we understand that the state has to do this in order to avoid the, you know, the downgrade, but nevertheless, maybe we need to be a bit more sophisticated. And then, yes, on the near cut, we will probably give an update on this process of refurbishing the components that we've seen, and we are grateful for the support on how we need to deal with the near cut challenge. And then, Honorable Matale, let me start with the machine at Chamberlain, the cyclotron. we have engaged with both the NRF as well as the Nuclear Energy Corporation of South Africa, NECSA, because the feeling is that South Africa, I think, is the second or third global distributor of this isotope. So we feel that we've probably not looked at the best institutional arrangement in South Africa for how we can really maintain that position or even increase. So there's a discussion that has happened, and part of that discussion was to look at how maybe we need to invest in another cyclotron. We're not so sure whether the cyclotron will be kept in Cape Town at Temba Labs or whether at the Nuclear Energy Corporation, but most likely at the Temba Labs, so that you separate one cyclotron for the production of radioisotopes together with the health cancer treatment therapy. I'm sure you had an opportunity to see that as well, including perhaps setting up a hospital for this cancer treatment using neutrons and protons at Temba Labs. But by the time we buy the machine, we hope that you know the overall South Africa institutional model for the production of radioisotopes will have been. And then the second, then the current facility would then be used for material characterization and research at Temba Labs as it is meant to. So I think that discussion has happened. So again, our colleagues in Program 4 have started this conversation, but maybe we need to revive it and bring the eye up. But I think there is a commitment to raise funding for the second instrument under this sort of revised institutional arrangement. And then the second point that you raised, Honorable Motala, was this issue of the target formulation. Two comments. The first one is that the bulk of the Program 3 in particular are things that I think I'm afraid we may keep coming to you for the sense of the second quarter, but on the third quarter they should go away, because really we're relying on the external, and sometimes there are processes of when they have these reports and verifications really are out of our control. But on the target deficiencies, I think we probably have less than 5% here that is a problem. So the SKA. And the second one is the one on the number of students and postdocs they support, as well as the researcher. What we have negotiated with the AG was that maybe for this kind of target, we should agree on a number, but also agree maybe a variation of about 10 or 15%. I don't know if you're familiar with this discussion. 10 or 15% that even if we are out by 10 or 15%, if we could be considered as having met. So I think we have started those conversations because they also appreciate that this is a matter that really cannot be, you know, up to the last. So we hope that, again, if that is successful, we will inform the committee at an appropriate time. And then, Honorable Korenov, I have to be honest, I am not familiar with the rollout of the windmills in Sutherland. We'll follow up. But our fallback position is that we do have the Astronomy Geographic Act that regulates the kind of activities that could happen in the core area, the central area, the coordinated areas, both around the Sutherland area as well as in the Carnarvon area. But I think we'll just check this one and make sure that it adheres to that. So unless there's something else that I have left or the members, the team members would like to add, Honourable Chair, I think we've covered all the issues.
Is there anything
else that
the team members would like to add?
Yeah. Thanks, Chair. Maybe just to pick up on the one issue that the DG raised in response to Honourable Matara around target formulation. We've had about two workshops with both the AG and the DPME around those specific issues. And the advice was that for the 17-18 coming financial year, those targets have been revised in line with what the DG has proposed around those specific, including the challenges that we've had with the MIRGAT. With regards to the MIRGAT in particular, we are required, terms of the law, the minister is then required to write to the speaker and the chair of the COP with regards to that change with regards to the near-term target, and that has been done. We're now awaiting a response from both the speaker and the chair of the COP. Thank you.
Thanks.
Any other issues that one of the members wants to raise? Maybe once again, thank you very much. Thank you, Mr. Chief, for coming and clarifying the issue. As we were also very concerned about the whole outcome, So we can also to intensify our oversight role. I also point out from some of the issues that we are not aware of, and all of those things. But also the visit to the December letter was very informative and very eye-opening to see that we can educate a lot. And also the questions that have been raised by one of my colleagues. I think this also is our last now, members are really pushing them. But I think the committee has done very well this year. We may be early, maybe too late in January, we'll be embarking on the public hearing on the IKF scheme. And the preliminary public hearing we had, we saw quite an impressive height and interest from different sectors, including engaging the departments that have been kept on there. So we believe that by March, that will be done. So that we also inform you as to when we expect the department also to look at some of the issues and also manage with our legal advisor on some of the issues that we've already picked up on the day itself, so that when it comes out, and that given the language, general language, that in fact assets over the time work out. So we're also very interested. And as you said, that the issue of R&D, we're all passionate about continuing to raise the center so that we help the department. And I think it's really appreciated the issue that you raised, that we're trying to raise funds so that some of the areas that cannot be funded can be funded from outside. On behalf of the committee, I'd like to thank you very much. And the team, thank you very much. Thank you, everyone.
Good morning, sir.
Otherwise, we need to start. I'm not sure if there's anything that you want to say. Is there anything that you want to say now?
Just a question to Renee. We have two presentations, one was by Professor Owen Dean and the other professor from Frank Bosch. I'm not sure if you could. They didn't have any slides or anything. Is there a way that could be incorporated? Because I know specifically Professor Dean's presentation made a lot of sense.
Outside of not having the presentation, what I had done to sort of summarize the input was to listen to the recording of those meetings and then to select the key points. Because even for me, understanding the interaction of the intellectual property laws amendment at IPLA with this form is quite complex. And I've also asked for the department to also provide a practice note as to how the two pieces of legislation can apply. Because so far we've heard from the pieces that they want to be healed and all of that. You know, but that's a problem. It's something that you need to be able to send in closely. And Tom Sipanandan from the department did provide a really basic explanation as to how, say, a piece of indigenous work could be registered within the system as an indigenous work, but then a part of that could be taken out and registered as a copyright under IPLA. But I think that is something that we're going to have to speak to you further, especially your comments coming in. I think that's really difficult for us to understand now. Outside of lawyers actually telling us in practice, how would they approach something like that, and would it work? Can it work?
I think Caroline Mube from UCT that did the committee questions and responses.
I see there is a workshop conducted by UCT on next Tuesday on intellectual property. Now, I know it because they tried to get the trade industry money in. And we can't do it because Parliament is a different property. So we definitely sending people from the department or from the committee. Maybe we must ask and ask just to look into that. Maybe it's worthwhile for this committee to go, because I think they are addressing the conflict between the existing legislation and what we are doing. So it might be a worthwhile just maybe get the information from Andre and then you can decide if it's
a
six time.
That's fine, yes, meaning that you follow quality of the doesn't follow that and not decide that.
I think there is also an amendment coming from trade and industry on intellectual property. I think they're dealing with that. Of course, they're not very much, as we have heard, they're not in favor of the existing legislation, and I think they're trying to put all the pressure on not to pursue it.
Thank you very much. Also in line with the program, so it is possible for you to probably to can attend the body and come then and attend the conference. Then that then brings us to the end of the meeting. But then you this speak is that one from the center. Okay, and that brings us then to the end of our meeting. And then, unfortunately, we don't have a budget for the contact, but we can ask another king, Mr. King, to speak for us. Not Carol. But I know that you've seen each other from other committees in the house, but I would like to wish each and every one of you a restful Christmas and all of the festivities this season. Hope that you get enough rest so that you can say thanks back to the brain. We have all the energy to do that and to see the competition. And it shows the name you come here with you. You still are able to go. Okay, so please take care of our baby. And have a very restful period. And giving it again to you, the wishing all of the best. We will be plenty of joy and good. We will contact you. When is it?
In June. The intention was to come back for January, but after my loss and my doctor feels that I will probably have I won't go because I'm having a little bit of an active day. So she doesn't think it's going to go because she's amazed with my
and you are responsible.
And I
okay. Thank you very much, and thank you, honorable members, for your dedication throughout the year and the period when we have been experiencing. It's a pleasure to have a committee here.